World Sport from the BBC with me, Chris Mitchell, coming up for you. Manchester United fight back to earn a place in the knockout phase of the European Champions League. Didier Drogba scores twice on his return to European football as Chelsea also go through.
Brilliant play by Didier Drogba into the penalty area. Great save. Then he follows it up, Drogba. And it's 2-1 to Chelsea. It was a brilliant effort from Drogba.
Porto and Bordeaux are the other teams into the last 16. Elsewhere, will Arsenal become the next English Premier League club to be taken over? Let's start with the action from the European Champions League then. Manchester United went through to the last 16 after they fought back to earn a dramatic 3-3 draw at home to CSKA Moscow in Group B. The Ecuadorian winger Antonio Valencia scored the late equaliser at Old Trafford. The BBC's Ian Dennis was watching.
Manchester United left it late, very late. With 6 minutes remaining, they were 3-1 down, but a Scholes header reduced the arrears and Valencia's deflected shot in injury time completed a dramatic fight back. United were guilty of slack defending. Zaguas' strike from a tight angle and the impressive Krasic with goals either side of a typical Michael Owen effort in a frenzied 6-minute first-half spell. Shortly after the break, United were found wanting again at the back as Vasily Berezutsky headed CSKA further ahead. The home side were denied a cast-iron penalty when Fletcher was felled, but with Rooney off the bench, United dominated. Akinfeev in goal was inspired, but United were resilient and are through to the last 16.
Well, it was a very open game. Let's get the reaction of the United manager, Sir Alex Ferguson.
Well, I think the fairness, we went very open tonight. We went a straight 4-4-2, two wide, two through. And for Scholes and Fletcher, it was very, very difficult because they played a one off the front and kept catching the counter-attack. And that was just the way I wanted to do it tonight and just see how we'd cope with it. We were in a good position for that. And then the players' availability, like I had, it was the right team to pick. But there were times they were strung out very, very easily.
Well, Wolfsburg won away in Turkey, beating Beşiktaş 3-0. They're now second in Group B with 7 points behind United, but they are 3 points ahead of CSKA Moscow. Chelsea are through to the last 16, but they could only manage a draw in Spain. The Blues striker Didier Drogba scored twice on his return to European action as they drew 2-2 with Atletico Madrid. Atletico scoring a late equaliser. The BBC's Simon Brotherton reports.
Chelsea through with room to spare, but they were well below par here and spent much of the evening in second gear. It turned into a tale of two strikers. Sergio Aguero, Atletico's star turn, came off the bench to put his team ahead midway through the second half, but two goals from Didier Drogba after 82 and 88 minutes looked to have won it for Chelsea. The first a header, the second a long run through the middle that ended with him scoring at the second attempt. But Aguero had the last word with a free kick in added time.
Drogba had missed Chelsea's opening 3 games through suspension, and Chelsea's manager Carlo Ancelotti was pleased to have him back.
I think that he is motivated. He was motivated at the start of this season. He's doing very well. He's continued to do well, and we hope that he can do other games like tonight. When one striker scores 2 goals, that's a very important work. He did very important work.
Porto have also gone through after they won 1-0 away at Apoel Nicosia. Falcao got the winning goal late in the game. It means the Portuguese club have 9 points in Group D and are assured of a place in the last 16. The French champions Bordeaux were the other team to qualify after an impressive win against Bayern Munich in Germany. With more on that and a draw between the Giants of Milan and Real Madrid, plus a 6-1 win for Marseille, is the BBC's Martin Fuchs.
Yes, Bordeaux threw Bayern Munich in serious danger of going out in the group phase. It finished 2-0 to the French champions in Munich, where Johan Gourcuff scored on 37 minutes and Marouane Chamakh got the second in stoppage time. Bordeaux have 10 points in Group A. Juventus have 8. They beat Maccabi Haifa in Israel with a single goal by Mauro Camoranesi. And Bayern Munich have just 4. It's been an awful start to Louis van Gaal's reign as coach. At the San Siro, Real Madrid scored first through Karim Benzema after Kaká's shot had been parried by Dida. But Milan were well worth the 1-1 draw, even though the penalty award for handball against Pepe was harsh. Ronaldinho equalised from the spot, then Pato had what looked a perfectly good goal for the home side, ruled out before half-time. In the second half, Inzaghi spurned 2 good chances for Milan, while Dida made a stunning save late on from Raul at the other end. The fact is, though, that one of these Portuguese giants could yet fail to qualify from Group C. They have 7 points each. Marseille now have six after beating FC Zurich 6-1 at the Velodrome. An own goal put the Skids under the Swiss, followed by goals from Fabrice Abriel, Mamadou Niang, Hilton, Benoit Cheru and Brandao. Marseille go to Milan next.
The American businessman Stan Kroenke is edging closer to a possible takeover of Arsenal after increasing his stake in the club to 29.6%. He's already the largest shareholder. If he reaches 30%, he has to make an offer for the remaining shares. He already owns several sports franchises in the United States. But as the BBC Sports News correspondent James Pearce explains, it's not clear whether Kroenke actually wants to launch a takeover.
By reaching that figure, that by no means means he will have a successful takeover of the club, because he has to buy still a vast amount of shares to make that takeover possible. Now, if you look at the other major shareholders in the club, for example, Alisher Usmanov has 25% of the club. If Usmanov does not want to sell to Kroenke, well, that's going to make a takeover difficult. The supporters trust hold, the supporters hold about 13%, other major shareholders as well. So I think it's still far too early to talk about a successful takeover of Arsenal.
But if he does, if the takeover does happen, that will be 11 of the 20 Premier League clubs in foreign ownership. You look at the list: Chelsea, Manchester City, Fulham, West Ham. Can't really be great for the state of the English game, can it?
Well, the English game needs finance, and at the moment a lot of the finance has been coming from the United States. What the supporters are concerned about, and the Supporters Trust has issued a statement today saying they don't want a takeover, but in particular they don't want someone to come in and borrow money against the club's assets. That's what's happened in Liverpool, that's what's happened at Manchester United, so that is one of the main concerns for the supporters. But we are still a very long way from that happening. They call Kroenke Silent Stan. He doesn't say much. The Arsenal had their annual general meeting last month. He was asked what his intentions were. He didn't make any comment. Although the chairman, Peter Hill-Wood, said he didn't envisage a takeover of the club. The directors have all said that they don't intend to sell. If the directors don't sell, Usmanov doesn't sell, there won't be a takeover of Arsenal.
The fans of Paris Saint-Germain attending the rescheduled French League match at Marseille later this month will have to travel by a special chartered train to be admitted. The France Interior Ministry made the decision following a meeting on security issues. The side's fans clashed in Marseille after the original fixture was postponed 6 hours before kick-off. That was due to an outbreak of swine flu in the PSG team. The International Rugby Board will meet next week to discuss the increasing problem of injuries in rugby union. The average prop is now 19 kilos heavier than 30 years ago, and the IRB's vice chairman, Bill Beaumont, believes the increasing size and weight of players is a contributing factor.
Players, they are getting bigger, they're getting faster, they're getting stronger. Now, what we're doing that at a normal course event anyway, we have a very strong medical conference, and that's taking place next week, and that is going to be an agenda item for all the doctors who are associated with national teams. Well, I wouldn't like to see sort of go down the American football route where players are wearing helmets and sort of massive body armour. They are allowed to wear body kit, and this is obviously regulated so that you can't go out sort of wearing something that could damage an opponent.
Well, England have been worst hit by the injury crisis in rugby union. The announcement of their team to face Australia on Saturday has been put back 24 hours. Pakistan have won the first one-day international against New Zealand in Abu Dhabi by 138 runs. Pakistan recovered from a poor start to make 287 for 9 from their 50 overs. The all-rounder Shahid Afridi smashed a rapid 70 and then took two wickets as New Zealand were all out for 149 in their 40th over. Manchester United, Chelsea, Porto and Bordeaux have all qualified for the last 16 of the European Champions League. Milan and Real Madrid drew 1-1 at the San Siro. Those are our top stories.